Ask Brenda to come and to read this morning's reading. Thank you, Brenda.
Our reading this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us."
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Brenda. It's a lovely passage. It's a great passage, isn't it? If that doesn't make you feel warm and fuzzy inside, I don't know what will. It's such an affirmation. Such an affirmation of about the people of God. And I've entitled this morning, "A Called Out People." A Called Out People. Later on in the service, we're going to commission our life group leaders. They too have been called out, chosen for a specific role within the life of the church. But as I was thinking about what that really meant, I couldn't help but to come back to this passage. And if you've got your Bibles, please do turn to them. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 12. I shared in the 9 o'clock service, I don't know if you've ever had any building work done. Yeah, there's not a lot of smiles on faces actually about that. If you ever had building work done, if you ever had a driveway laid or something like that, several years ago we had a new block paved driveway put down, and it was really fascinating to watch the way in which the builders put that together. You know, they excavated the ground, they put in a really solid foundation, then they mixed and matched up all of the bricks to make this wonderful driveway. But as they were going through, they had a pile that was set to the side, a discard pile, if you like, where all the rubbish, all of the broken bits of rock and stone were just tossed aside, thrown over to be picked up at the end of the building project. You see, in their minds, they couldn't use the stuff that was imperfect, things that had already been broken or cut up. They couldn't use it within the job. They needed perfection. They needed uniformity. They needed to use things that were just right so that the job lasted. It seems almost ironic then that as we read this passage of Scripture this morning, that God's kingdom works in an entirely different way. You see, God seems to build in a way that isn't the same as we would do humanly. He doesn't look for the best and most perfect materials to build his church. Rather, he uses everything that he has to hand. The damaged materials, the offcuts, the half bricks, the broken bits and pieces of all different shapes and sizes. The stuff that everyone else is looking past. And indeed, in many cases, just toss aside. You know, we're in the Advent season, if you hadn't realized already. Wonderful, wonderful time of year. And when you think about that Christmas story, actually, you can see how God, even in that first Christmas, was using so unsurprising characters to fulfill his mission and ultimately to begin to build his church. Who would have thought it? A young girl, perhaps 13 or 14, to be the mother of God's child, Jesus Christ. Who would have thought it that her betrothed, her fiancé, a man of royal lineage, would actually set aside the Jewish custom and stay with his fiancé who was pregnant? Who would have thought that the announcement, the annunciation of the birth would go to the shepherds first and foremost, the outcasts of society, that they would come and visit? And what's more, they would declare the praises of God to everyone. Who would have thought that they would use wise men from the East? Had nothing to do with the Jewish culture at all. And yet they would come and they would bring their gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh, that describe what Jesus and Jesus's life would mean for each and every person. A king, a priest, a sacrifice. It's as though God delights in using materials that everyone else thinks is useless to build his kingdom, to build his spiritual house, one imperfect brick at a time. It says in verses 4 to 5, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You and me, together, a called out people, a chosen people. As strange as it seems, Jesus' plan all along was to shape us, you and me, the people who mess up, the people who get things wrong, the people who struggle from time to time and lack confidence, to be a community filled with his Spirit, reflecting his glory with him as the cornerstone. The one against whom everything and everyone else is lined up. The one against whom we are built up as well. It's a wonderful image. It's a fantastic image of what God's kingdom is like and how different that is probably to your understanding of modern culture. Surely that should comfort you this morning. Surely that should inspire you. That should encourage you here today that no matter what anyone says about you and I, no matter what they think about the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, and, you know, the passage here says that Jesus will always be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. No matter what the response is. No matter what struggles we are going through, God's kingdom is different. God's kingdom is different. There is a place for each and every one of us within it. No one is excluded, and neither are we alone. God has left us the Holy Spirit to be with us, to build us up, to strengthen us, to equip us. And he's called us into community, one with another as his church, to watch each other's backs, to support and encourage one another. Just read in Hebrews 10, 24, 25. The only requirement to be part of that is that we come to him. Come to him, Jesus, the living stone, by humbling ourselves and asking him into our lives to be our Lord and our Saviour, to accept his gift of salvation, which is available not just at Christmas and Easter, but every single day. That gift of salvation is here and available for you today if you haven't accepted it already. And that was the Apostle Peter's point in writing his letters to the Christians scattered by persecution. You see, life was really tough for them, that early church, as the pagans and the Jews were deeply hostile to this new sect, these followers of Jesus. As was the Emperor Nero at the time, who was determined to rid the empire of those who wouldn't bow the knee to Caesar, those little Christs, as they were known. Yet in all of this, in all of their trials, Peter reminds his readers that God's plan of salvation, once prophesied, but now revealed to all in Christ, should give them comfort, should give them hope, and should give them a confidence to live differently to those around them and to stand firm. To stand firm. You are a chosen people. Eklektos, ek meaning out in Greek. Lektos meaning elected. Together we are a called out people, a chosen people. Church, ecclesia, out, chosen, called out. Together we become the church, the called out people. You're chosen, says Peter. You're chosen. You're not an accident that you're just here today. You're chosen, says Peter. Called out of rebellion, called out of darkness into God's wonderful light. Amen. Amen. You're called out of darkness into God's wonderful light through faith to stand in the breach, both individually and together until Jesus finally returns. You're a chosen people. You're a called out people. And you're to point the way to Jesus for those who are still walking in spiritual darkness. But he goes on in verse 9. You're not only a chosen people, you're a royal priesthood. You're appointed by Christ to share in his kingship and in his sovereignty as well. Free to draw close to Christ, to have a relationship with him without fear or need of anyone else. To give our lives in worship, in grateful and thankful hearts for the gift of life that we've been given. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You've been forgiven. You've been restored. You've been washed clean by the blood of Christ and his gift of salvation. You're God's special possession. A covenanted people with God, purchased at such a high cost through the death of his son Jesus. Does that give you a glow this morning? That really should give you a glow this morning. You are a chosen people. You're called out. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God's special possession. You know, where God's word was once just for the people of Israel, these words that Peter are using are reflected back in Deuteronomy 7. Where it was once applied to the Jewish nation, now, says Peter, it encompasses everyone, all nations, all people, us, you and me, and those as well who are walking in darkness but need to see the light. Each called out to reflect his love, the nature of God, his saving grace, to be a beacon of hope. We, together and individually, our lives linked together in a community where God is present through his Spirit. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, it's not easy to stand out for God. It's not easy to stand out for God. It wasn't at the time when Peter was writing, and I don't think it's easy for us as well today. It was the Apostle John who said that the whole world is under the control of the evil one, 1 John 5:19. And when we look around us, we can see more than fleeting glances of that in the culture that says there is no absolute truth. That it says it's all right to do your own thing. That no one has the right to speak into what I do, my choices. We live in a culture where everyone has voice through a virtual pulpit called social media. That's lost its perspective on balance, whether that's in our lifestyles, whether that's finances, whether that's in the way we conduct relationships, ethical behavior, much more besides. The weight of peer pressure upon us individually and collectively is enormous and relentless. God's word says that we're in a spiritual battle. Believe it, we are in a spiritual battle. Yet as Christians today, we are a called out people. We are a chosen people. Not giving in to our personal desires and our personal preferences, but we are called out and chosen to be distinct from society's values by living to God's standards and not the world's. What does Peter say in verse 11? Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to this world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. We're called out. We're chosen. We're meant to be distinctively different. We're called out to partner with God to help build his kingdom by pointing people to his glory. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, Peter gives us a sense of what it means to be a called out people in the next few verses. Firstly, says Peter, as a called out people, we are called to stand up. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Your good deeds glorifying God. That's a tall order, isn't it? That is a tall order. An American pastor and evangelist, Dwight Moody, once said this, which I think is a really good quote as to what it means to stand up for Jesus. You know, Moody said, a holy life will produce the deepest impression. Lighthouses blow no horns, they only shine. Don't have to make a word, don't have to make a noise. Shine out for Jesus. Shine out for Jesus. We're to be examples to the world around us and authentic witnesses to the faith that we profess. We're to stand up for Jesus not only out there, but in here as well. In here as well, as part of God's community, authentic witnesses of the faith that we profess. You know, we may not be persecuted in anything like the way that those early Christians were, but as I say, we are under attack. Modern culture wants to have its influence on us, and the danger is that we bring that into the church. What is the biggest risk to us today? What is the biggest threat to us today? It's not physical violence. I believe in my own mind that it's complacency about our faith. It's the acceptance of society's norms, that somehow we dilute what we believe so that what people see is just a pale imitation of what God wants us to be. You know, here's the challenge. If you were to ask your friends, if you were to ask your families, if you were to ask your work colleagues whether they saw something different in you, whether they could tell that you were somehow different, that you had a faith in something other than just the world around, what do you think their answer would be? Do you think they see a difference? Do you think when we meet here on a Sunday and people walk outside past our doors, what do you think they see when they come in? Are we distinctive? Or as a church and individually, do we blend in? Peter's words to those early Christians were about standing up for your faith. You're a chosen people. You're a called out people. You should be different because you're God's special possession. You know, often our actions speak louder than the words that we say, and they nearly always demonstrate who or what is important to us. That was the challenge to those persecuted Christians who had every incentive to backtrack on their faith at the point of their own death. And that's the same challenge for you and me today. We're to live in the world but not be followers of the world. The only way we can do that is to have a close relationship with Jesus. The only way we can do that, to stand up for the faith that we profess, is to have a close relationship with Jesus. The Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Ephesians about putting on spiritual armor every day so that we can stand firm. Do you know what that spiritual armor looks like? Ephesians 6, rooted in God's word. Rooted in God's word. That's where we find the truth. It's not the relativism that we see outside. God's truth is absolute truth. We're rooted in the word. Are we confident in our identities in Christ? Not what the world would say of us. Are we confident in our identities in Christ? Do we obediently follow his commands? Do we trust in God's faithfulness and our salvation? Do we let the Holy Spirit sustain us, guide us, and equip us? Or do we try and do life on our own like everyone else? Above all, says Paul, pray. Pray. That's part of our spiritual armor. That's what keeps us going. That's what sustains us to stand up and proclaim the good news. So Peter says, stand up, no matter what you're facing, stand up. You're a chosen people, you're a called out people. To do what? To stand up. The second thing that Peter talks about is that you're to speak up as well. Verse 9, that we may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are to declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. It sounds like a command. Actually, it should bubble up from inside of us. Are you not so grateful for the gift of salvation that you've received that you cannot help but to share that with people that you come across? It was Francis of Assisi who started the Franciscan Order, who's widely attributed as saying that preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words. That kind of echoes what James said about faith and works, that we need to work out our faith, that we need to demonstrate what our faith is. And whilst we may do that in a way that perhaps we think makes an impact on those around us, we love God and we love others. The simple fact is that we live in a culture today, and we live in a world today, where there are lots of other people who also do good works and actually see no difference between themselves and us. You know, I have friends and I have family members who are just as compassionate, just as caring, just as generous, and yet have no inclination or no holding to any faith at all, and yet they would not see themselves as being any different to me from the outside. Perhaps you have people you know like that. But there is a difference. The difference is Jesus Christ. The difference is Jesus being in my life. And the reality is that if we want to come and see people come into the kingdom, which is what we're called to do as a called out people, a chosen people, then we need to share the good news that we've received as well. We need to share about God's love, about his saving grace. We cannot avoid telling others. Our lives will show what our faith is like. Hopefully that will point people to Jesus. But the reality is, says Paul in his letter to the Romans, we need to tell others. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus, the Lord, will be saved, says Paul. Doesn't matter whether we feel ill-equipped or unprepared. Our role and responsibility is to tell people about the faith that we profess as well. Paul goes on to say, how then can they call on the one in whom they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? We're called as chosen people, as a called out people, to preach the good news. We've been commissioned by Jesus Christ to go and make disciples of all nations. It's our role, it's our responsibility, but actually it should be our joy. It should be our joy. I'd love to see more smiles on your faces as I'm saying that. It really should be our joy because we've been saved. We've come out of darkness into the wonderful light. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the guiding goal and purpose that we have as God's called out people, ecclesia, together, to point people to Jesus by declaring the praises of the one who called you out of darkness. You know, we're plan A. The church is plan A. You and me are plan A. There is no plan B in God's kingdom. There is no plan B in God's kingdom. It's down to us. We're a chosen people. We're a called out people. We're God's special possession to declare the good news. You know, if we're not passionate about our relationship with Jesus, why on earth will others be? Be passionate about Jesus. You know, Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. The birth of Jesus, God's own Son, bringing the gift of salvation for all who will accept him. What a fantastic opportunity we've got to share the good news. The gift of salvation for all who will accept him this Christmas time. Will we do that? Will we pick up our leaflets? Will we just talk about what we know is true? We're a called out people to stand up, to speak up, and finally, we're called to shore up, to build one another up. Verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We're called together, we're called out. Ecclesia. Out called out. We're a called out people. We're a chosen people to come together, to live together in Christian community called the church. We're called to do life with our other believers, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, we don't live the Christian life alone. We live the Christian life in community with others. We need each other to support one another, to encourage one another, to spur one another on. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. I shared again at the 9 o'clock service this image that isn't season appropriate, but it will do. Our individual faith is like a piece of coal on a barbecue. We're like a piece of coal on a barbecue. You know, when the coal is lit and heaped together, each piece helps the other to stay really hot. We pile it up, it stays really hot. But if we take a piece of coal out, that piece of coal rapidly cools down. And that heap also cools down a little bit. But when we put the coal back on, it heats up again. And the rest of the heap heats up again as well. We're not called to do life on our own. We're not called to live out our faith on our own, but together, spurred on, supporting one another. You know, within the society we live in today, within that individualistic society, the one that says it's okay to do it on your own, it's really important that we don't lose sight of the fact that we need each other. We need each other to support one another or be supported by one another. You know, using Peter's imagery of that temple built up of living stones with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. You know, a stone, a living stone, is neither a temple nor a wall. But together with other Christians, we are being built by God into a spiritual house in which He is present and active. As I say, we support one another, but we're also supported by others. The things that we've gone through, the things that we experience in life, you know what? None of that is wasted for God's kingdom. None of that is wasted for God's kingdom. And it's only when we find our place and our purpose as part of His church family, whether that's to pray, whether that's to provide words of encouragement, to teach, to listen, to journey with others, or something else, that God can multiply our individual efforts and make it into something that demonstrates His glory and His majesty. That's why it's so important to share our stories. That's why it's so important when we meet together to share perhaps about what God is doing in our lives. He's building us up. He's constructing something beautiful out of the ashes that quite often our lives have within them. We should be a people who are not afraid to declare God's praises together so that we build one another up. Because God is at the center of what we do here. God is at the center of what we do here. You know, in a community like this, whether we meet on Sundays, whether we meet in small groups, in life groups, or something else, it's a place where we find support and encouragement to hold fast to the faith that we have. It's a place where we can support one another to persevere to the end, to finish the race. We do that by offering spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, no matter what confronts us, no matter what challenges we have. So let me close just by saying, do you feel a bit daunted by this morning? I do. Do you feel a bit parched? Do you feel a bit worn out? Do you feel anxious, fearful, or afraid? It's says in verse 4, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus this morning. Are you sad? Are you lonely? Are you despairing of the situations that you find yourself in? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. When we come to Jesus, it says that we will be built up, chosen by God, precious to Him. You also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus this morning. You're a chosen people. You're a called out people to demonstrate all of the beauty of God's kingdom to those who are walking in darkness. If that's you this morning, come to Jesus. Let Him build you up one brick at a time, one living stone at a time, so that we may declare His praises together. Will you come to Jesus this morning? Let's pray. Actually, I have a real sense that we should respond in some way to those words, that invitation to come to Jesus. Can I say that if you don't know Jesus this morning, if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know the love that He has for you, the fact that He wants you as His chosen person, a called out person to come into His kingdom, then you can respond this morning. You can respond this morning. If you want to be part of God's family, if you want to be a living stone brought out of darkness into His wonderful light, you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning. I want to give you the opportunity to do that, and not to get out of your seat, not everyone's eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, but I just want to say, if that's you this morning, if you want to ask Jesus to come into your life as Lord and Savior, can I just ask that you raise your hand? You know, God's gift is for everyone. He loves you individually. Let me just pray a prayer. Maybe you'll pray this prayer as well. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You that You offer us the gift of life. Thank You that You are the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, I pray this morning that for this individual, that he would just simply come before You, that he would recognize his need of You, that he's gone perhaps his own way for his life, and yet, Lord, You just ask to turn to Him, to ask Him to be Lord and Savior of his life. Because when He does that, You come in and You provide salvation. Maybe you'd say this prayer. Lord, I thank You that You are the Lord of life. And I turn from those things that I know to be wrong today. I lay them down and I accept and I acknowledge that I am a sinner. But Lord, would You come in to my life as my Lord and Savior? Would You come and give me a fresh start? Would You wash me clean that I might be able to draw close to You now? In the knowledge of Your love, from which I can never be separated, and a love that stretches in to all eternity. So come and fill me with Your Spirit, Lord, I pray. Amen. Amen. And maybe for the rest of us, as we're still in that place, we may know that we're saved, but we're struggling with stuff. We're going through difficult times. And I want to invite you again, perhaps if you just raise your arm, if you want to come to Jesus afresh today, let me pray for you in the challenges that you have. You're a chosen people. You're a called out people. God dwells in our presence by his Holy Spirit. He fills us as living stones. If that's you today, you just raise your arms, raise your hands so I can pray for you. Thank you. Let's just pray. So Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the fact that you love us so much that you sent your only Son. Lord, we thank you that you didn't abandon us. You didn't leave us when Jesus ascended back to heaven, but you gave us your Holy Spirit to fill us, to refresh us, to equip us, and to empower us to be the people that you have called us out to be, a chosen people. So, Lord, this morning I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters who raised their hands. Lord, I want to pray that you would come and presence yourself afresh in their life. Lord, would you fill them with your Spirit to overflowing? Would you help them in those things that they're struggling with? Would you journey with them? Would you go before them? Would you go behind them? Would you hem them in? Lord, may they just know your presence so that they would be the people that you have called them to be, people who stand up, speak up, and to shore up others. So Lord, would you just come and just draw alongside them, we pray, and help them in whatever they face, knowing that they can cling on to you, the one who is faithful and loving and true. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to sing again. Sorry. Did you want to say? Amen. Amen. Sorry, brother. I'm going deaf up here. Forgive me. Forgive me. Amen. We're going to sing again, and then I'm just going to ask that we commission our life group leaders, people who have been called out to serve. But let's stand, let's sing as a response. A wonderful, wonderful song. A song of truth. A song that should fill us and sustain us. Let's stand to sing.